First, you must take some wine. Can you describe it?
It's a nice red wine.
I think you can do better.
A bold wine with a hint of sophistication and lacking in pretension. Actually, I was just talking about myself.
You are not wrong. Wine is like people. The vine takes all the influences and life all around it. It absorbs them and it gets its personality.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Everyone's entitled to a little confusion in their lives. I practically thrive on it.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you never or ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That is us. We are your online and your radio media resource for everything about that delightful, cute little grape. And yes, we have our first show of the new year. We are introducing 2011. I really can't get my head around the fact that we are in 2011. I know a lot of people are even still debating on how to say the year. Ken, how are you going to say the year?
I'm opting for 2011. I say eventually we're going to make that change anyway. We're not going to go through the entire 2000s calling it 2226. We're not going to do that. Eventually we'll change, so let's change now.
I don't disagree. 2011. I've heard people say the 11sies. And that just sounds ridiculous.
Like that.
No.
That sounds kind of...
It sounds pretentious.
Kind of light.
Yeah. I like the 20 part. 2011, yeah. 2012, 2013. I can just get in the habit of doing that.
That's right.
So we have introduced the new year. I hope all of you are in the same boat and find yourself rested and happy and have a great season behind you. I hope everyone had a very festive New Year's Eve and drank a whole bunch of champagne. Unfortunately, I know that I did. I drank that New Year's Eve, and then I had to drink it New Year's Day to get over what I drank New Year's Eve. And then by the time I got to the second, I had to get into the rosé champagne to get over the champagne I drank on New Year's Day and New Year's Eve.
Wow, busy time for you.
Yes, very busy time for me. And for those of you that don't know, here is a little trade secret. For those of you who over-imbibed or are looking ahead to January and planning on over-imbibing, maybe on President's Day or something like that, anytime you have a really vicious hangover, despite what the experts say, there is very, very little that rosé champagne can't cure. So if you're feeling awful and you want the hair of the dog, just a couple glasses of rosé will put that bright, lovely spark back into your day.
Why does that work?
I don't know. I think it's mental with me. But no, chances are most people have not been consuming rosé champagne and just the pretty look in the glass, and it's something you're not accustomed to drinking, and it seems like a treat. Once again, it may be mental. I have no idea. I'm sure there's several doctors listening to the show banging their head against their steering wheel right now, saying absolutely not, it's a bad idea. However, whatever works, works, and that's all that matters. So,
sounds simple to me.
Yes, and did we have to worry about you over-imbibing New
Year's Eve? No. Kent was good.
It's nice to know.
Had a nice time, but I was good.
Perhaps maybe we should worry about you speaking of yourself in the third person?
Maybe. That may be more telling than a lot of things. That's right.
I have several good friends, and it's always fun to speak with them after they've had a big night out or they had a big holiday. Because if they had a good time, they'll look at me and say, yeah, I had a great time, enjoyed my friends, enjoyed everybody that was over. If they had one of those nights they'd rather not remember, they'll say, well, yes, Lori had a very good night that night.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, if Lori wasn't the one there and I'm not speaking to you, then exactly who was having a good time that night? I do have one girlfriend that after a certain point, she has that fourth glass of wine and she wonders who's speaking out of her body and her mouth. And then when she hits the sixth glass of wine and doesn't remember things, she just hopes that whoever had possession of her body at that point was very articulate, very nice, and very gracious. So that's when you start speaking in the third person, I worry about you.
Okay, well, I'll stop that then.
Okay, I would appreciate it. Well, just like everybody else, I'm sure you have sat down and have New Year's resolutions. I resolved a long time ago, I don't make these grand sweeping resolutions anymore. I hear my friends, they all say, I'm going to diet, I'm going back to the gym, I'm going to clean my house, I'm going to be better organized, I'm going to write everything down. The ad nauseum list of what everyone's going to do better in the new year always astounds me, especially when you talk to them around March and all those ideas are out the window. But we are going to do a resolution show today, in a sense, because I sat down and I like to look at my resolutions more so along the lines of what would I like to do better in the upcoming year. Obviously, we all know, especially if you're a loyal listener of the show, there are a lot of things I could do better. I could be more patient. I could be kinder to the French. I could be more gracious. I could make less fun of Kent. I could be much kinder to people who call on the wine line. And I could, you know, work, obviously, on dropping my other two languages.
What's Kent, the fun of all that?
I know. Kent, I did tell you my new philosophy that I'm fluent in three languages.
You are fluent in three? What three?
I am fluent in three languages. The first is English.
Yeah.
The second is sarcasm.
Okay.
And the third is profanity.
Okay, gotcha.
So one of my ideas and resolutions for the upcoming year, especially as it pertains to the Wine Crush, is I'm going to focus on my first language and try and drop the other two. Now, all of you out there can feel free to send me an email or call when I finally fall off the bandwagon. I don't know, in 2 or 3 weeks.
How about 2 or 3 minutes?
I'm going to be good. Oh, God, that usually
Laura's going to be good.
Yes. Laura's going to be good. Don't know who's doing the show, but, you know, that's fine. Someone's going to be good. But that does remind me, part of clearing the slate and starting new resolutions is, of course, to ask all those questions that you have not had answered and ask all those things that you always feel stupid asking but need the answers to anyway. Once again, that's what we're here for. Call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or as you may remember, all of your emails come to me directly on my BlackBerry at lauralawson@winecrush.com. And I promise, as we go into January in this wonderful new year, I'm going to be very kind. I'll be very concise. I will give you great, wonderful, inspiring, insightful answers to all your questions.
In other words, we have a new host, folks.
That's hostess to you. Yeah. So in light of that, let me start here. Anytime I look at things and break them down, especially the Wine Crush, I say, what can I do better in the upcoming year? So this week's show is going to be focused around my New Year's resolutions in wine. Very, very simple, very straightforward. You know, we can all have these great resolutions where you think along the lines of, well, I'm going to make a point to go to Burgundy this year, or I'm going to try more French wines, or I'm going to make sure that I go out and buy that $200 bottle of wine to put up. When you start looking at things that specifically, it limits yourself. I want this to be the year to take blinders off. So as we go through the show today, I'm going to copy you on my New Year's resolutions. I'm going to give you an idea of what I'm looking forward. So hopefully it can inspire you. Now, to start with, because it's the first show of the new year, I'm going to be very, very general in this week's wine recommendations. And it's very simple and it's very straightforward. I think I've had a lot of success. I know several of you have written to me to tell me how much you've liked my wine recommendations, how you found them. So let's start here. After all, you're supposed to drink what you like, not what you're told. So in light of that, for your white wines. Now, yes, I am the Chardonnay sipping diva, but there are a astounding number of you out there that just roll your eyes and say, Chardonnay, ooh, I can't stand it. So let's think about this great, wonderful, noble Chardonnay. It's one of the noble grapes. It's the foundation of Burgundy. It's the foundation of Champagne. It is grown pretty much in every wine-producing country in the world, and even some places that probably shouldn't be producing wine. I'm falling off the bandwagon. I guess I better be careful. So when you think of Chardonnay as a whole, you have to understand it covers the worldwide gamut. So of all grapes that can go through and help you get a sense of place or help you get a sense of a winemaker or a sense of a region, Chardonnay is going to be it. So here is my wine recommendation for you. For those of you who have rolled your eyes, stubbed your nose, and said, no, you're not going to drink Chardonnay, pick one. Don't care where it's from. If all of a sudden you are feeling warm and fuzzy about Paso Robles Syrah, then find a Paso Robles Chardonnay. If you're feeling great about what's going on down in Australia, then by all means pick one up. If you're going to try something less expensive, try a Chardonnay, say, from New Zealand. But whatever you do, go to the grocery store, go to your Mega Mart, and go to your wine shop and try a Chardonnay. We're going to start there. That way you'll have a baseline to work with me all year because, let's face facts, most of what I recommend white-wise is going to be Chardonnay. It is still the number one consumed wine in the world, so you might as well get on the bandwagon. So here's your starting point. Even Kent, I'm encouraging you, go find yourself a Chardonnay and let us know what you think about it. This will be a good template. This will give us a guideline for the rest of the year. Go out, get yourself a Chardonnay, and send us an email or call us. What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? And we can start focusing down on what we need to work more there. Now, your red wine recommendation. Logic would dictate that I'd pick a match made, a noble variety, for you to go out and try. But I'm not. I'm going to ask you as a country, as a nation, go out and get a bottle of Merlot. We've all heard about Sideways. We had, of course, Mr. Pritchett on the show. But Merlot, seriously, is something, again, we have overlooked. It is still a great selling wine. It's still a very fascinating grape. Keep in mind, it's throughout Bordeaux. It is one of the wines that you can find that's being just stellar coming from Chile and Argentina right now. But people got away from Merlot. They were scared to drink it. They were scared that they would look unwine savvy if they had a bottle of Merlot on their table. But this year, you're going to change that. We're going to turn this around. If the Wine Crush itself can totally get behind something, it's going to be the reannexation of the love of Merlot.
What was the problem with Merlot? I mean, did it become like the Walmart of wines or something? Do people think it's less glamorous than other wines or what?
Two things happened. One, Australia started importing and Chile started importing a lot of plonk. Some just really, really wretched things that had Merlot on the label. So you could go out and get a $2.99, $3.99, $4.99 Merlot that were just absolutely terrible. You wouldn't use them to clean your floors or to strip lacquer. So couple that seriously with the Sideways effect. When Sideways came out, Pinot Noir took off, but you have Miles screaming outside a restaurant, "That's it, I'm not going in there. If anyone's drinking Merlot, I'm leaving." And all of a sudden, people who thought that Sideways encapsulated everything about wine realized that Merlot may not be sophisticated enough.
Yeah.
And so people quit drinking it. Now, I will say this forever. America talks dry, but drinks sweet. So those are your two wine recommendations. Get up, go out. Those of you driving right now, go to a grocery store, get a bottle of Chardonnay, a bottle of Merlot, and we're going to start there for the 2011 ideas and recommendations from the Wine Crush. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we come back, we will be resolved to a couple more interesting wine ideas for the new year.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial, plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro-Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro-Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro-lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger-running, better-performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
To the Wine Crush, I'm Laura Lawson, and we are resolved to do some great things about wine around here on the Crush this year. So hopefully you are getting on the bandwagon. You like the idea of just picking a random Chardonnay and a random Merlot and starting there, and of course telling us how you feel about it. But it wouldn't be my show if I didn't give you my idea of my wine resolutions, and hopefully some of you will agree with them. The first and most important resolution I'm going to come to in 2011 is I'm going to go back and retry the wines that I think I hate. As we were going through the holiday season, spent a lot of time out, spent a lot of time in restaurants and entertaining, and just in, well, unique cities and places I hadn't been before. And I was sitting at a dinner very, very close to New Year's Eve, and as I sat there and they were going through the wine list, they kept asking me, well, what about X? What about Y? What about Z? I'm like, no, 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 and no. And I realized I wasn't really thinking. I was answering off the cuff. And I realized that by the time this poor person had gotten through 10 wines, I had rejected 8 of them. And when I sat back and truly thought about it, I realized of the 8 I had rejected, it was all because at some point in the last 2 years, I had tasted a wine and didn't like it. Now, it wasn't necessarily because the wine was bad. It wasn't because it was not of quality. It wasn't because of the price point. It was just one of those things where, no, I don't like that Chardonnay. I don't like that Sauvignon Blanc. I don't like that Cab. I don't like the Merlot. And bless their heart, whoever I was at dinner with suggested I try one of the wines that I had rejected to begin with. And sure enough, the bottle came. And I have to admit, I wasn't exactly jumping for joy to see this bottle on the table. But once they poured the glasses round and I revisited the wine, I remembered the fact that, one, wines change vintage to vintage, and two, wine is subjective. And so that's what I want to get across to all of our listeners and everything going on. Since wine changes every single year, it is not necessarily going to be the same bottle day in and day out. If it was, there'd be no point to have wine ratings. There'd be no point to having wine scales. It would just be like a bottle of, I don't know, Grey Goose vodka that you always knew exactly when you opened the top, exactly what it was going to taste like. So keeping with that, also, wine is subjective. It doesn't matter. If I've had a really bad day and Kent has just been nagging me nonstop and I have to just do everything he's telling me to and he's making fun of me, do I need a drink? Yes. Do I necessarily really love that first glass of wine that's put in front of me? No. I may not be in the best of moods. I may not be in the frame of mind. I may have a head cold. I may be on medication. I may have drunk too much coffee. I may have had too much Red Bull. I may have had too much Grey Goose the night before. The whole point is all these factors can add up into not enjoying a wine. So I know that my first resolution for this year, there's a list of 10 wines already that I know that when I think of, I just turn my nose up immediately. And since I preach to you, drink what you like, not what you're told, and I'm asking you to be open-minded and get a bottle of Chardonnay, a bottle of Merlot, the least I can do is follow suit. And I would expect and recommend all of you great wine connoisseurs and you savvy wine people to do that as well. So, number one, wines that you say you absolutely hate, give it a shot. They can surprise you. You may enjoy the wines. You may find a new favorite out of it. There's no need to segregate the population. There's no need to be biased. There's no need to rule these people out. Right, Kent?
If I tried a Chardonnay 5 years ago, didn't like it then, Is there a good chance that if I try to Chardonnay again now, in other words, has anything changed about it in 5 years? Would a Chardonnay be different now than it was 5 years ago? Same brand, same bottle?
Same brand, same bottle? Well, I assume you don't mean the same vintage.
Right, exactly. Different vintage.
I'm going to use this just because it's my favorite fallback wine as far as an example. Kendall Jackson Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. If you had had Kendall Jackson Chardonnay 5 years ago and didn't like it, you definitely need to try it again because two things will have affected that. One, the vintage may have changed. It may have a different flavor component to it. But number two, in 5 years, Kent, you've changed. If you really want to think about it objectively, 5 years ago, you weren't producing a radio show. You weren't sitting a wine radio show. You weren't sitting in the booth listening to all these things. So you have learned a whole bunch more and you learn what to look for. You may have just tasted some acid. You may have tasted some alcohol in the Chardonnay and decided it was worthless. Now, when you tasted that same Chardonnay, you might taste fruit. You might get the oak. You might get the suppleness. You might get caramel. You might get vanilla. You might be able to pick up on it. So by all means, yes, everyone needs to revisit the things they hate. Now, I'm sorry, Brussels sprouts, I will never revisit. I don't like them, and I'm not going back to them. It won't matter. However, the wines are different. So, having said that and encouraging you to tell me what you think and what you find, I do occasionally have to answer an email, and I think I will answer this one. And just to prove that I'm on my resolutions, I'm not going to make any fun of anybody. This email reads, I just read an article about non-alcoholic wine. How is this possible, and have you tried any? Now, see, the old me would have said, it's not possible, it's wretched, and have I tried any? No, what's the point? But see, the new me is not going to address that like that. Non-alcoholic wine, there are actually some very good producers out there. Non-alcoholic wine is made essentially by manipulating the wine and centrifuging the alcohol out. That's the main way that they do this. So that people can go through, they can have a non-alcoholic option for the people that don't drink, for the people who just want to feel part of the group. It's a very, very good thing to have. Don't laugh, there is a wine called Sutter Free. It's made by the people at Sutter Home. They have a great sparkling. It's definitely worth investigating. If you're a non-drinker or having a party for non-drinkers, then yes, include it. That way they can feel more comfortable when you're doing toast. And even though it may not be as outstanding as a bottle of Tattinger champagne, it definitely includes people in the group, and it's not undrinkable. It's not going to be an unpleasant experience for anybody. So yes, non-alcoholic wine is possible. Yes, Virginia, there is such a thing. And yes, I have tried some, and I have found some that are actually very palatable.
I am stunned.
Now, why are you stunned?
By
I told
your answer.
You, I am going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be better at this. Speaking of turning over, we're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, I resolve to be a little more concise and work on the nicer side.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
You're listening to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we are resolving to be better wine people this year. So we are asking for your help and encouragement. Let us know what you're going to do better when it comes to the world of wine this year. Call us 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email me, Laura Lawson, at winecrush.com. For those of you who may have missed some of our shows as well, you can check us out at winecrush.com. We have all the old shows archived, and you can go back and get your favorites. Don't forget also, we are on iTunes, so if you want to download us, you are more than welcome to. Everyone wants to exercise to my voice. That way you can think, if you're actually thinking about wine and exercising, maybe you're killing 2 birds with 1 stone.
I can walk around with Laura on my iPod, my iPad, everything else now.
You could. See, that might make you run faster.
Yeah.
Maybe if you think, if I run faster, maybe I can get away from her.
I would consider that, yes.
Yes, I would imagine you would. All right, so we're talking about my New Year's wine resolutions this year. Hopefully, they will inspire you to come up with some on your own. Now, my next one is kind of strange. It doesn't really necessarily apply totally to wine, but it is something to be aware of. Obviously, we are hopefully coming out of a great economy. We are coming back into a situation where people are willing to go out. They're willing to be in restaurants more. They're willing to spend more time and more of their disposable income at Wines by the Glass, on the Wines and Bottle list. So it's time to get out. Now, in getting out, you have to go to restaurants. You want to experiment. You want to try something different. And in doing so, part of the whole idea of going out and being waited on is to be well served, whether it's the waiter that comes over and gives you the wine list, whether it's the one that brings your wine by the glass, whether it's the one that prepares and pours your bottle, whether it's that great sommelier who gives you a good recommendation. I'm going to resolve in 2011, I'm going to be more vocal about wait staff when I'm in accounts. I'm going to be more vocal, both good and bad. That's something people don't hear often. If you think about it, think about, for those of you out there, I'm sure that probably 30% of you your first job was waiting table somewhere, and you all remember that one panic moment when you had to open that bottle of wine for the first time in front of a guest, in front of a customer. On the flip side of it, all of us have been out and been at a restaurant where you had that poor server come over the table. You could tell the knees were knocking, the knife was shaking as they're trying to open the bottle of wine. This is the moment where everyone needs to take a deep breath and work on being more patient and being encouraging and tell people they're doing a nice job. Hey, nice job pouring. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. We need to make sure that we are a little more, pampering towards our wait staff when they are having some opportunities and troubles.
Have you ever been otherwise?
I may have had moments where I weren't as patient as I should have been.
Yeah.
There may have been moments around cities around the country where I might have snatched bottles out of people's hand and grabbed the wine tool and said, here, I'll do it myself. So we're going to look past that in 2011. We're going to be very zen.
Breathe deep.
Yes. And I'm going to encourage the rest of the world to do it as well. Because like I said, we've all had that first time experience where we're nerve-wracked. We would like to think that everybody who is serving us in a restaurant has gone through some kind of wine training. We would like to think that everybody has had service techniques taught to them. We would like to think that the managers and waiters on the floor taught these people how to open a bottle of wine. That is not necessarily true. It doesn't always happen. So keep that in mind and be patient. Now, on the flip side, I have also been called out because I will have very, very bad service at a restaurant, and I will make a point not to say anything to a manager. I will make a point just never to go back. I am asking all our listeners as well, whether it's a good experience or a bad experience, make sure you tell a manager. Because ultimately, if you have a bad experience in that restaurant, whether it's regards to wine, whether it's regards to service, whether it's regard to the kitchen burning down while you're there, if you don't ever go back and never say a word, there's no chance that that restaurant will ever fix it, and fundamentally they'll have a flaw. So look at it both sides. I will resolve to do so this year. Once again, I'm going to be more vocal about the wait staff in restaurants, both good and bad, because I will say this, and it's the last little thing, a tangent I will get off on. It is very strange. Obviously, for those of us who've been in the service industry and managed people before, we hear complaints daily. You hear how someone, they didn't bring that bottle of wine. Oh, they didn't present it well. They didn't do anything about the quart bottle. We always hear complaints. When you hear something good about an employee, when someone takes the time to write an email, to make a comment, or tell you, hey, one of your people is doing something outstanding, think about how good that makes you feel, and think about how great that'll make that server feel or someone else in a restaurant.
Wow.
And so, Kent, here
I'll
step up.
I just couldn't agree more.
See?
And it's a kinder, gentler Laura. I love this. Did Doug get you upstairs and bust your chops over something? What happened here?
No.
Whole different.
Once again, it is early in the year, and I'm going to be very...
Zen.
I mean, yeah. I'm going to work on the Zen thing. Both Z-E-N and Z-I-N before it's over with.
And later on, G-I-N. You never know.
Entirely possible. We'll see how much the Z-E-N and the Z-I-N get to me. All right, so that's the second resolution. I also have promised to be kinder to people on the wine line. So in light of that, I hear we have our first caller of 2011. Let's get them on the wine line and by all means welcome them to the Crush.
We have Rick from Atlanta.
We had a question in regards to chilling wines. We had a party over the holidays and put several bottles in the refrigerator. And there were several bottles that were left over, and we just wanted to know if it was okay to put them back on the wine rack or should they stay in the refrigerator chilling.
Now see, Kent, here's another perfect example. If it were the old me, and this was like toward the end of December.
You would have bit his head off by now.
I would have said, Rick, what kind of party did you throw that you had bottles of wine left over?
Yeah, I know.
Did you choose bad wine? Did you have bad company? What's the problem? But no, it's the new and improved me. So, Rick, here's my recommendation. It depends on how long you have had these wines chilled. It depends on how long they've been in the refrigerator. But ultimately, if you're talking about a Chardonnay, a Sauvignon Blanc, or a Champagne, once you've chilled them, I would leave them in the refrigerator. To me, it just gives you encouragement to either try them, drink them, or have another party. But also, if you look at it, there are certain natural enemies to wine. The first is temperature difference. If you take the temperature and put it at volatile extremes, whether it's from 30 degrees to 60 degrees to 75 degrees to 80 degrees, back to 30 degrees, it's not good for the wine. It is an organic compound. It is alive. So, no, all those temperature changes don't help. On the flip side of it, though, It doesn't help for that wine to sit in the refrigerator and vibrate constantly, because motion and vibration are bad things for wine as well. So you need to look at this from both sides. If it's a very expensive bottle of champagne that you may want to keep for a while, let's face facts, not much of the country is very warm right now. If you're going to take it out of the refrigerator and not let it go, say, back over 58 degrees, then yes, you should be fine. If you're going to take it back out of the refrigerator and put it on top of that rack on top of your refrigerator, which I've told you time and time again is not a good place to store your wine, then no, leave it in there. So my personal response would be, if it was good enough to serve for your guest, it's good enough for you to drink day in and day out, and everybody deserves a little reward at the end of the week. So enjoy it, relax, sip on it, and after all, you deserve a break today.
Oh, is See? That your new? Okay, that's good. Steal other people's advertisement slogans, too. That's good.
They don't use that anymore. Well, they have that true. Ridiculous marketing campaign now, so I can get away with that.
Yeah, you probably can. I think I told you over the holidays, somebody gave me a nice Riesling.
Very
and
nice.
And I've been enjoying it consistently over the holidays. I've still got some left.
I'm impressed. So. If they gave you a nice bottle of Riesling, how do you still have some left?
Well, it is a good bottle. It was not a great bottle, but I still enjoy it.
Okay.
Little treat for Kent every now and then. Oh, there he goes, third person again.
Yes. You're trying. You are. You're deliberately baiting me about bottles of wine that have been open for weeks, and you're talking in third person, but I'm not going to rise to the occasion.
Good.
I'm going to be good. I'm not going to let you blow this in one show. All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we return, we will continue to be resolved to do better things in 2011.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes,
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Everybody knows.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we were resolving to be better winos in 2011. And actually, on this note, Kent, I'm enjoying some of the bumpers you were putting in and out. So I have a challenge to all of our listeners. We did this about 2 years ago. We have to start it all over again. We've got to get Kent something new to play with in 2011 so he'll stay in this good mood. I am looking for songs that reference wine.
There are
a lot of them out there. It's for those of you who live in the same city that I do, you can usually see me as I'm weaving through traffic, all of a sudden leaning over to write something down. It's because all of a sudden I realize there's a Stevie Ray Vaughan song out there that mentions about wine. So to our listeners, I want you to touch base with me. I want to know the songs about wine. Yes, I'm aware of the websites that are out there, but I want the strange offbeat one. Call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Put it on the blog. Put it on Facebook. Put it somewhere. I want to know songs with wine in them. What do you want to hear? What's something new and different?
I heard a country song, something about drinking while I'm thinking about you yesterday, but I don't want to. It doesn't have to be about wine. It has to mention wine. That's what we want.
Okay, with the drinking about thinking, that just mentions drinking. Do you want drinking songs as well?
We can do drinking songs as long as it's not the, you know, why don't we get drunk and, you know, whatever.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with Jimmy Buffett. It's just probably not applicable in this situation.
Probably not.
All right, so Kent has put his 2 cents worth in. Yes, we want drinking music. We want drinking songs. We want to hear about wine. We want to hear about beer. Love is on the wine list. Whatever it takes, we want to know what you're thinking. Call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1, and give us some brilliant insights. All right, moving on to our resolutions. Number 3, and this one is going to shock Kent and everyone who knows me. I'm going to resolve this year to be more open to inexpensive wines. I'm going to be willing to look on the bottom shelf. I'm going to be willing to look at things that in the past that I knew were labeled as, oh, I don't know. I hate to use the word cheap, but once again that I have this connotation in my head when I see it by the glass or I see it on a wine list, thinking that's cheap, that's $4.99 at the grocery store, I'm not going to drink it. Because after all, I have lectured everybody in 2010 about the glut of juice that was in California. We talked about all the juice that's coming out of Australia, the wine coming out of Chile and Argentina, and the fact that we had some very large harvests in 2009. So there are going to be some amazing deals out there, and even though I tell you about the deals, I can't say that myself I have been open to drinking the less expensive wines. I talk about Pomp Jack, I talk about Donna Estates, I talk about all the Sobraja wines, and I tend to find myself pigeonholing between $15 and $35. So I'm going to step out of that pigeonhole this year. I'm going to actually look ahead and find those wines that are value price and value conscious that I know can be good.
I think you did that a little bit last year.
A little bit to a point when there was a lot of great stuff in June and July. I was looking more toward value. We did a couple stories. We did a couple shows about that. But ultimately, I get done with the show. I taste the wine for the show, find what I like. And when I got home, I take my $20 bottle of Chardonnay out and I'd pour a glass of that. So I need to live what I preach, and so I will work harder this year to drinking the more inexpensive wines and finding favorites out of that.
Wow.
It's not a matter of economy. It's not a matter of going ahead and stepping down, but the least I can do is if I'm going to recommend it, if I'm going to talk about it, if I'm going to predict about all the great values we'll see this year, I might as well participate.
Yeah.
You know, I often told when I was in management, do what I tell you to do, not what I do.
I'm
really going to try and put that behind me
a little bit this year. This is the new Laura. This is interesting.
Yes, that or you drug me on the way in the studio.
Yeah.
That could go either way.
Yeah.
So there's your resolution. I am going to definitely try to really honor and look for more inexpensive wines, and it could only benefit you as well to try that as you go to your local Mega Mart. Well, right now I do have a couple emails. The first one is from Mike, and Mike writes, "Do you think wine labels will become more complicated to decipher with all the discussion of mandating certain information?" Well, Mike, actually what I think are wine labels are going to get easier to decipher. What I assume Mike is talking about is there's a big push with the FDA to put calories, to put, you know, obviously there's already a sulfite warning on it, but they want it to be a food item. And in doing so, what is the iron? What is the mineral content? What is the vitamin content? What are the calories? What's the sugar? What's the, you know, all these factual information that you have to find on everything else. There are definitely pushes towards that. Right now, of course, there's only 7 things that have to be on a wine label. The 2 pertinent ones for you, of course, are sulfite and alcohol. But as we get more detailed, I think it opens up for greater consumer knowledge. Also, we talked in the past about Sonoma and Napa. Sonoma just passing the fact that you have to put the AVA on there like Napa has for ages. You have bottles of wine that say Oakville, Napa. Now if it says Russian River, it's going to have to say Russian River Sonoma on it. So as the labels get more complicated, they're going to get more specific. It's not necessarily going to be as difficult to read as Italian wine labels or French wine labels, because let's face facts, when you look at Burgundy labels, if you do not have a firm grasp of geography, you really are not going to translate those very well. But on the flip side of it, here in the States, we tend to be a little bit vague with Vintner's Reserve and Old Vine and things that don't really mean anything. I think it actually behooves us to get more specific on our wine labels, because it'll help give you an idea of who's producing quality products, who's putting quality time, money, effort, and energy into it. It's one thing for it to say Vintner's Reserve and have it mean something. It's another thing for every bottle that you produce out of your winery to say Reserve on it one way or the other. Somehow I think that's not fair. Reserve actually should be Reserve. Kind of like first place should be first place, not first place A, first place B. And there's also the also-rans. It doesn't mean just because you competed, everyone should have a trophy. Right? Oh, that's right. I'm sliding back into my old opinions.
Yeah.
But ultimately, no, Mike, I do not think that wine labels will become more important, more complicated to decipher. It's going to get better. It has to. I think that's the very straightforward way to look at it. Let's face facts. We all need to know a little bit more than the alcohol in the bottle. If it's 14.6% alcohol, but it has 200 calories, 150 calories, 130 calories, or if it has a whole bunch of extra sulfites or extra additives, I think it's good for us to know.
Now, is the wine industry having to go toward what the restaurant industry is going toward right now, having to reveal more of the calorie content, the fat content, you know, various other things?
Well, if we get to a point where there's a fat content
in a bottle of wine, you know what I meant.
I'm sorry. Once again, you're baiting me. Admit it. I'm trying to be kind and nice.
The ingredients of what's inside it, yeah.
Yes, everyone, the labeling laws around the country, we're definitely trying to move to that. What's interesting, though, is we have so many different imports coming into the States that, believe it or not, it's because of the imported wines that there's a holdup on that. When you look at the fact that if we decide to label those bottles like that, then French, German, Italian, Chilean, Argentinian, every product coming in is going to have to change their labels just for the States. It's going to cause problems. So right now there's a holdup. What will be interesting, though, is to see what wineries step up and do this on their own without having to have national and federal mandates. Those are the people I'm looking forward to talking with. Those are the people I'm looking forward to seeing. Because after all, I love transparency in a wine. We're going to take a small break right here. When we return, we will wrap this up and plan ahead for great things in the upcoming new year.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20 year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max it. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine.
These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and around here today we have been resolving to be better wine people, better winos, and what we can do to get there. So as we close this show, I'm going to give a recommendation that may affect only half of you, but it's a very, very important half. Now, no, I have not been paid to do this by the publishers, nor I've been paid by Random House, but I had a friend the other day. She decided her resolution for this year was she was going to take her advanced sommelier exam and she was going to take her certified wine educator exam. She came to me. She said, Laura, I know you have every book known to mankind on wine. Can I go through your library? I said, absolutely, take what you need. So she started pulling books from the shelves. She pulled my Sotheby's. She pulled my Janice Robeson. She pulled my Robert Parker. She pulled a whole bunch of wine books that I have had for ages. White Wine for Dummies, Red Wine for Dummies, Kevin Zraley's Windows of the World. I think you see where I'm going. I had all the major books. But as she gathered them up and I looked at them and I saw how well-loved they were and how tattered they were, I realized that some of the books that she was taking as factual encyclopedias to learn on, they were in their 10th and 12th edition, and what she was picking up was her second edition. So here is your resolution. All of you out there who have bothered to collect wine books over the year, I got news for you. It's not the internet. It's like Encyclopedia Britannica. They are out of date. So for those of you who value your wine collections, value your book collections. Get them updated, run to your bookstore right now. Otherwise, you're going to be behind the times, behind the scenes, and next time you try and pull a reference, you're going to be wrong. So at least let me have given you that little bit of resolution and advice. Here at the Wine Crush, as always, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, and as always, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.